This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله. When you do this course, yes, things do become a bit more challenging, more difficult, but you really learn to manage your time well. Alhamdulillah, this course will teach you how to benefit from holidays or free time or break time. And if you think about it, that time will pass even if you don't do anything useful in it, right? So alhamdulillah for the opportunity that we are studying the Quran on our weekdays and we have the weekend to do other things. Alhamdulillah. Let's continue our lesson. Lesson number 5, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 17 to 20. We did the translation, inshallah we'll move on to the lesson now. The following verses present two examples of the hypocrites. So far in the Quran, we have learned about three groups of people. The first group is of those who are guided, those who believe, those who have ilm, and they also do amal. The second group is of those who are not guided, those who have ilm, but they don't have amal, who are the disbelievers. And the third group is of the hypocrites. In the previous verses, we learned about some characteristics of the hypocrites. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents two examples to illustrate the behavior of the hypocrites, to explain to us the behavior of the hypocrites, to clearly tell us how they are. And remember, whenever an example is given, what happens? You're able to understand better. You're able to relate to it better. So the purpose of mentioning these examples, the purpose behind mentioning these characteristics is not so that we go on finding or looking for people who are hypocrites, but rather it is to analyze ourselves in the light of these examples, in the light of these verses, in the light of the characteristics that are mentioned over here. That if I have any of these characteristics, then I should work on improving myself. So the following verses explain the condition, the behavior of the hypocrites. Now remember that there are two types of nifaq. There are two types of hypocrisy. The first type of hypocrisy is that which is in aqidah. What is aqidah? Belief. So hypocrisy, that is in aqidah. What does that mean? It refers to the hypocrite who actually disbelieves in the heart. But on the outward, he is only revealing Islam. He is only showing Islam, so that he can enjoy the benefits of being a Muslim. But in his heart, he is actually a disbeliever. In his heart, he is not a believer. Their example is the first example that is mentioned in these verses. The second example is of the second type of hypocrites. And who are they? Those who have nifaq in their amal, in their actions, in their deeds. What's the first type of nifaq? That which is in aqidah, that which is in belief. That in the heart, the person is a disbeliever and he is only showing Islam. The second type of hypocrisy is that which is in the amal, in the action of a person. What does it mean by that? That at heart, a person is a Muslim, but he does some actions which are actually of hypocrites. For example, we learned of the hadith that there are signs of a hypocrite. What are they? That when he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And other characteristics as well that we learned of. So does this mean that if a person lies just once, he becomes a hypocrite? What it means is that he has a characteristic of hypocrites. He is being hypocritical where? In his actions, not in his aqidah. He is a believer in his heart, but just in his actions, he has hypocrisy. He has hypocrisy. So the second type of hypocrisy is of that which is in amal, and the second example that is mentioned over here is about this type of hypocrisy. So let's go over the examples, let's go over the verses. As for the first example that is mentioned, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and other companions have stated about this ayah number 17, that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, when he migrated to Medina, some people became Muslim. But soon they became hypocrites. They turned away from Islam. So their example is of a person who was in darkness. Then he kindled a fire through which the environment became illuminated, and things of benefit and loss became clear to him. When there is darkness, you can't see anything. When there is light, you're able to distinguish between things. So similarly, he was in the darkness of shirk. The Prophet ﷺ came, guidance came, knowledge came, Islam came, and with that he was able to see what was good, what was bad, what was beneficial, what was not. But then what happened? Then the light blew out and he fell into darkness. Or that he lost his own sight and returned to the state of being in darkness. This was the condition of the hypocrites. This was the condition of the hypocrites. First, they were in the darkness of shirk, of disbelief. The Prophet ﷺ came, brought guidance, they were in light. But then the light was extinguished. And as a result, they fell back into the darkness. Let's look at these verses. مَثَلُهُمْ, their example, their description, their state. Whose state? Who does they refer to? The hypocrites, the munafiqun, the way they are in their hypocrisy. Their description is كَمَثَلِ, like example. Notice the word مَثَل. مَثَل is from the root letters ميم سَ لَم. ميم سَ لَم. And مَثَل is used for an example, a description, the state that something is in. And the word مِثَل, you may have heard of the word مِثَل. مِثَل means similar to, that which resembles the other. But if you look at the two words, مِثَل and مَثَل, مِثَل is that which is similar to the other. مَثَل is example. Now whenever you give an example, it is always similar to the concept that you are explaining, the concept that you are elaborating. Isn't it so? When you give an example, it has to be similar to the concept that you are elaborating on. And what is a مَثَل? What is an example? If you think of it, an example is used to explain something that is abstract through something that is concrete. Something that is intangible, something that cannot be seen, cannot be touched, cannot be felt, that is explained how? By giving the example of, by citing something that is tangible, that is concrete, that can be touched, that can be felt, that can be seen. For example, if you're trying to explain to a child what the color red is, what the color white is, and you try to explain it through words, it's going to be very difficult. And if you just say, white is like the color of this paper, is the explanation going to be easy? Of course it is. So the purpose of a مَثَل is what? To explain something that is abstract through that which is concrete, to explain an intangible concept through that which is tangible, through that which can be seen. From the same root, ميم ثاء لام, is the word تمثيل. And تمثيل is used for a drama. Because what do people do in a drama? They act out. If somebody just tells you a story in words, it's difficult to follow along sometimes, isn't it? But if you see it being acted out, it's easier to follow along. It's more enjoyable. Which is why many times people don't bother reading a book, and if there's a movie on it, they will just prefer to watch that. So from the same root, تمثيل. And the word تمثال is used for a statue. Anyway, Allah says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Their example is like the example of the one who kindled a fire. Now you see in the Qur'an, many examples are mentioned. Many examples are given. Why? So that it is easier for us to understand. So that we can understand quickly. We can have a better understanding. We can see things. We can see things. We can relate them with our daily lives. So the example of the hypocrites is like that of الَّذِي, of the one who, استوقد. استوقد is from the root letters وَوْ قَافْ دَال. What are the root letters? وَوْ قَافْ دَال. The word وَقُود is from the same root, which means fuel. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones. So وَقُود means fuel. And إِسْتَوْقَدَ, the word that you see here, إِسْتَوْقَدَ gives us two meanings. The first meaning that the word إِسْتَوْقَدَ conveys is to light a fire, to kindle a fire. What does it mean? To light a fire, to kindle a fire. The second meaning of the word إِسْتَوْقَدَ is to ask someone to light fire for you. What does it mean? To ask someone to light fire for you. Just as sometimes if you're sitting, and it is, let's say it's Asr time, you don't have the lights on, and eventually it is Maghrib time, and you're still sitting. So a person who is walking around, what are you going to ask them to do? Can you please turn the light on? So istiqad, istawqada, is to ask someone to light the fire. It is to ask someone to kindle fire. So alladhi istawqada, like the one who kindled, what did he kindle? What did he light? Or what did he ask to be lit? Naran, a fire. We ask people to turn the light on. We ask people to turn the heating on, the air conditioning on. Over here, what did this person do? He asked that a nar, a fire, should be kindled. The word nar is from the root letters Noon, Waw, Ra. And the word nar is used for fire. And in fire, there is light and there is also heat. There is light, there is also heat, there is warmth. And sometimes fire also serves as protection. So, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Their example is like that of the one who kindled a fire. Now, what does it mean by الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا? First of all, this is understood as the person who lit fire in darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness of unbelief. The darkness of ignorance. The darkness of, what else do you think? Shirk. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oppression. Injustice. Doubt. So there is darkness. And the first meaning of istawqada is to light fire. So a person came and he lit the fire. Who is this person? It refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this light, it refers to, that is produced by the fire, what does it refer to? The light of guidance. The light of the Qur'an. The light of Islam. Let's look at this meaning first. Let's read through the ayah, and then inshallah we will move on to the second meaning, which is to ask someone to light fire, right? So let's stick to this meaning first, study the ayah, then we'll move on to the second meaning. So their example is like the one who kindled a fire. What happened after lighting the fire? Falamma, then when? Adha'at. It illuminated. The word falamma gives the meaning of then when. It conveys the meaning of the sequence of events. So falamma, then when, meaning when the fire was lit, as a result what happened? Adha'at ma hawlahu. His surrounding became illuminated. The word adha'at is from the root letters Dad, Waw, Hamza. Daw, Diya, which means light. And in particular it is said that Diya is such light that also has heat with it. It also has heat with it. The word also applies to the burning rays of the sun. There is light, and then there is also heat along with it. Sometimes in winter, it's extremely cold. And if you're inside, and the sunlight is coming through the glass windows, can you still feel the heat of the sun? You can. This is what diya is. Extremely bright, and it also has heat with it. But in particular, diya is used for such light that has a red tinge to it, meaning it's not white like these lights that you have in your classroom. Okay, it has a reddish, yellowish color to it. So فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ أَضَاءَتْ means it became bright, it became illuminated. So when the fire illuminated, when the fire made bright, what? مَا حَوْلَهُ, what was around him. حَوْل is from the root letters حَوَلَان. Okay, حَوَلَان. And the word حَوْل is used for surrounding, that which is around a person. مَا حَوْلَهُ, that which was around him. Who does him refer to? The one who lit the fire. The Prophet ﷺ. So when the environment is illuminated, what does it mean by that? When the environment was illuminated, the truth and falsehood are clearly distinguished. People are able to see what right is, what wrong is, what correct is, what false is, what Allah likes and what He does not like, what He approves of and what He does not approve of. In darkness, we're not able to tell if something is, you know, a bed or a table or a chair, right? But when there's light, all you have to do is just, you know, look towards it and you know what is what. You can tell things apart. You can distinguish between the things. So فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ, the environment is illuminated, truth and falsehood are clearly distinguished, differences between right and wrong are clearly known. What happens? What happens to the hypocrites? Allah says, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ, Allah took away. Allah took away what? بِنُورِهِمْ, their light. Allah took away their light. Who does their refer to? نُورِهِمْ. Them refers to the hypocrites. Now the word ذَهَبَ is from the root letters ذَلْهَبَ. Have you heard of the word ذَهَب? ذَهَب, not ذَهَبَ, ذَهَب. What does it mean? Gold. What happens to gold? Does it stay always with the person? No. A person has to give zakat on it. A part of it goes away from him. Similarly, gold is a big investment. It's a big asset. People secure their money by buying gold, right? And eventually when they have to spend, what happens? The gold goes away from them. So ذَهَبَ is to go away. What does ذَهَبَ mean? To go away. So ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. And when the word ذَهَبَ is followed by B, do you see over here? ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Then ذَهَبَ B means to take something away. ذَهَبَ B means to take something away. ذَهَبَ on its own means he went. He left. ذَهَبَ بِ, he took away, he went with. So ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah took away their light. The word نُور has the same root letters as the word نَار, نُون وَأُرَى. And نُور is used for a bright light. Light that shines. How is نُور different from ضِيَاء? نُور has no heat in it. Okay, ضِيَاء has heat in it. So what does it mean by Allah took away their light? Allah took away the light of the hypocrites. You see, in order to see something, two lights are needed. Okay? Two lights are needed. First of all, you need light outside. Okay? You need light in the environment, in the surrounding area, so that you can see what is out there. The second light that is needed is the light of the vision, of the sight. So that a person is actually able to see. A person is able to perceive. Now the thing is that there is light outside of them, but their light is extinguished. Which light is this? Their internal light. Their own light is extinguished, which is why they are unable to see anymore. Which is why they have lost the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. When there is light, you can tell, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. When a person does not have light, he loses that ability, he loses that sense. So Allah took away their light, Allah took away their ability. وَتَرَكَهُمْ, and He left them. تَرَكَ is from the root letters تَرَكَ, Taraka literally means to leave something, to abandon something. So Allah abandoned them. Who does them refer to? The hypocrites. Allah took away their light and He abandoned them where? فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ in darknesses. لَا يُبْصِرُونَ they do not see. The word ظُلُمَات is the plural of the word ظُلْمَه. ظُلْمَه. Which is from the root letters. What do you think? ظَ لَمْ مِيم. And ظُلْم, ظُلْمَه literally means darkness. Just one request, that if you do have to say something to the person sitting next to you, try to keep it very low. Because when I can hear you, when other people around you can hear you, then what happens? It affects your listening. It affects your concentration. So if you really have to say something, first of all, you know, try to make sure that you don't have to say something. But if it's extremely important, then you may whisper, but in a very low voice. Okay? So, وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ. ظُلُمَاتِ is from ظُلْمَة, which means darknesses. Any other word from the same root? ظالم, ظلم. What is that? What is that? Injustice, oppression. Injustice, oppression. That is ظلم. So we see that ظلم means darkness and ظلم means injustice. What's the connection between the two? What's the connection between the two? Yes. The connection is that on the Day of Judgment, الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Oppression will be darkness for a person on the Day of Judgment. What does that mean? That a person who is oppressive in the dunya, he will be in darkness in the hereafter, on the Day of Judgment. So ظلماتٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them in darknesses. لَا يُبْصِرُونَ they do not see. يُبْصِرُونَ is from the root letters بَصَدْرَ, and بَصَرَ means to see. يُبْصِرُونَ they see. لَا يُبْصِرُونَ they do not see at all. So their light is taken away, they're left in the darknesses, and they're unable to see. They're unable to see what? They're unable to see truth. They're unable to see that which is good, that which is beneficial. Now a question may be asked, that there was light around them, they could see, but what happened? Allah took away their light. Isn't it? What do we read in the ayah? ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Allah took away their light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ, and He left them in darknesses, as a result of which, لَا يُبْصِرُونَ they were unable to see. So the question is, why did this happen? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away their light? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah number 3. Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah number 3. Allah tells us, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا, that is because they believed, ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا, then they disbelieved. فَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, so their hearts were sealed over. فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, and they do not understand. So what do we learn from this ayah? That when a person is offered the guidance, when the light is lit for him, but then he chooses to, ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا, they choose themselves to close their eyes. They choose themselves to go against the truth that they have found. As a result, what happens? Allah takes away that ability from them. There was light around them. Light was given to them. The Prophet ﷺ brought light. The commands came to them. They learned about the way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did they do that? Did they follow that? No, they didn't. And when they didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the light from them. So ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Another verse in the Qur'an also explains this, which we learned earlier as well in the ayahs about the disbelievers, that فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Surah As-Saff, ayah number 5. That when they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, oppressing them, He is depriving them of guidance. No, Allah sent the messenger to them who brought light to them. But they didn't benefit from that light. They didn't use their mind. They didn't use their own comprehension. They did not benefit from the light that was brought to them. And as a result, it was taken away. Just as, for example, if you prepare something, if you prepare some food, okay, and you offer it to your children, you offer it to your brother, to your sister, okay, and what do? Instead of eating, they say, why does it look so funny? And they try to find faults in it. It doesn't taste like, you know, how you made it before. It's okay, it's edible, but there's this and this wrong with it. I don't feel like eating it. Or they're forcing themselves to eat it. What are you going to do? You're just going to take it away. Fine, don't want it? Don't want to eat it? Fine, don't eat it. I'll take it away. And sometimes there is absolutely nothing wrong with the food, isn't it? But just because it is a vegetable that they do not like, it's a particular food that they don't enjoy eating, that's what they will find faults in that particular food. And you say, fine, don't eat it. Similarly, they were given the light. Was there a problem with the light? Was there a problem with the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them? No. But they themselves didn't want to do them. And when they didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their light and they were unable to see. So as a punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their light. Also, we learned in the previous verses that when they were told, Aminu kama amana nas, what was their response? Anu'minu kama amana sufaha, shall we believe like the foolish ones believe? So when they appeared to be believers, and when they mocked at the believers, when they called them foolish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let them play around with His religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let them belittle His religion. He takes the ability away from them of comprehension. When they're appearing to be believers, when they're showing themselves as believers, but actually they're mocking, actually they're calling the believers foolish, actually they are, you know, bringing disgrace to the religion, then what does Allah do? Allah takes away their light from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion, the people who believe in Him, they're not so cheap that they can be made fun of. Anyone who does that will suffer consequences. And many times it is very sad that people who claim to be Muslims, they have grown up in Muslim homes, they call themselves Muslims, but still they will make fun of the deen. They will make fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala na'udhu billah. So when a person does that, Allah takes away their light from them. Allah takes away their ability to comprehend, their ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And as a result, what happens? Allah says, summun, they are deaf. Bukmun, they are dumb. Umyun, they are blind. Fahum la yarji'un, so they will not return. They become deaf, they become dumb, and they become blind, and they will not return to guidance. Let's look at these words. The word summun is from the root letters sad, mim, mim. It is from the root letters sad, mim, mim. And the word sum is the plural of the word asam. It is a plural of the word asam. How will you write asam? With an alif, sad, and mim. Okay? Alif, sad, mim. With a fatha on the alif and the sad. Asam. Okay? And also a tashdeed on the mim. Asam is someone who is deaf. Someone who is unable to hear. Someone who is unable to hear. From the same root, the word slimam is used for a cork, a stopper. What does it do? What does it do? What does a cork do? What does a stopper do? It seals the mouth of the bottle, right? It seals the mouth of the bottle. What is inside is blocked inside. What is inside is blocked inside. And it also prevents from any moisture or anything going inside the jar as well. You know, you have airtight containers, right? Why are they like that? So that there is no moisture, no air that goes inside the container. So, slimam is used for a cork or a stopper. So it is basically when something is blocked. So aslam is a person whose hearing is blocked. Whose hearing is blocked. A person who is unable to hear properly. So, summun, they are deaf. What does it mean by The fact that they are deaf doesn't mean that literally they are deaf, they become deaf, they are unable to hear. What this means is that it refers to their state of being unable to hear the truth. They are being unable to listen to the truth. And remember that listening is of two types. The first listening is to just, you know, hear the sounds, to listen to the sound. Okay? The second type of listening is that when you listen and you accept. When you listen and accept. So over here, they are deaf, meaning they do not listen. They do not listen to what? They do not listen to the truth. They do not like listening to the truth. And if they do listen to the truth, they don't accept it. Do you understand? Because you see, the hypocrites, they would actually go in the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ. They would go and listen to the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ. Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was a leader of the hypocrites. He would go and sit in the front while the Prophet ﷺ would be delivering the khutbah. He heard it. He heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting the Qur'an. But did hearing benefit him? No. So someone, they are deaf to listening to accepting, to agreeing with the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 21, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Do not be like those people who say that we have heard, but actually they have not heard. Because a person who has heard, he must show by his action that he has heard. If you tell your child to bring something for you, and if they don't, what does that tell you? Either they did not hear, or they're not listening to your instruction. So someone, they are deaf. They don't listen to the truth, they don't accept the truth, they don't benefit from the truth. And there are also bukmun, ones who are dumb. Bukmun is the plural of the word abgam. Abgam. And abgam, how will you write that? Alif, ba, kaf, meem. Abgam. Abgam is used for a person who is unable to speak. Who is unable to speak. It is also said that abgam is used for a person who has never spoken. Who has never spoken. Meaning, since birth, he has never been able to speak. It is also said that abgam is used for a person who is neither able to speak nor comprehend. Because many times, people who have a disability and they're unable to speak, they can comprehend. Many times when people are unable to speak, they're also deaf. Right? But they have a sign language with which they can communicate. Once I went somewhere, and there was a group of people, at least about five or six, and they were communicating in sign language. I had never seen something more beautiful than that. I was amazed. They were sitting, there was complete silence. And the whole time, they were communicating with the sign language, they couldn't utter a word. They couldn't hear a word. But they were actually talking. They were actually talking. Over here, abgam is used for a person who can neither speak nor can he understand. He doesn't have either of these abilities. So there are summun and there are also bukmun. So what does it mean by bukmun in the context? Does it mean they're unable to speak physically? Their tongues, you know, do not function properly? No, that's not what the meaning is. What it means is that they're unable to speak out the truth. They're unable to speak out the truth. They're unable to speak out that which is good. They do not speak good. They do not speak the truth. Then what do they speak? What do they say? Falsehood. Batil. Bima kanu yakdibun. Because they used to lie. So summun, bukmun. Moreover, Allah says there are also umyun, ones who are blind. The word umyun is a plural of the word a'ma. A'ma. How would you write A'ma? Alif, Ayn, Mim with a Ya at the end. A'ma. And A'ma is used for a person who is blind. Physically blind, who is unable to see. But otherwise the word A'ma or Umyun is used for blindness that is not just physical, but also spiritual. Also spiritual. So Umyun, what does it mean by this? That they are blind to the path of guidance. They are blind to the truth, so that they do not perceive the truth. There were clear signs. The Prophet ﷺ spoke to them. The Prophet ﷺ lived amongst them. Did they not see him? Did they not see the events that took place? Of course they did. But they were blind to all those clear signs. The truth was right in front of them, but they wouldn't see it. ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ صُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ. They are deaf, dumb and blind. As a result, what's going to happen? فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They're not going to return. The word يَرْجِعُونَ is from the root رَا جِيمْ عَيْنْ, from the word رُجُور. And رُجُور is to return. It is to go back to where a person came from. So they will not return where? They will not return to the light. They were in light. Allah took away their light because of their own sins, because of their own wrongdoing. And then they become deaf, dumb and blind. Will they ever return to the light? No. Just imagine a person who is unable to hear, unable to speak, unable to see. If he is going somewhere and if he loses his way, will he ever get to the destination? No. فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They will not return to the path of guidance. Why will they not return? Also, because they think that whatever they are doing is right. They think that what they are doing is correct. You see, one is that a person realizes the mistakes that he is making. A person realizes the faults that are within him. And what does he do then? He tries to get over those faults. He tries to leave them. He tries to get rid of them. But if a person thinks that what he is doing is right, will he ever change his ways? No. They are deaf, dumb and blind. And they think that whatever they are doing is perfectly fine, is perfectly correct. So obviously they're not looking for anything else. They're not looking for guidance. They're not looking for improvement. So فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They're not going to return. Earlier we read about them, وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. They are not rightly guided at all. They are not on the right way at all. So we see that with this group of hypocrites, door after door is closed. Every door to guidance is closed for them. And this is the first group of hypocrites. This is the first group of hypocrites, those who are hypocrites in their heart. This was the first meaning of the ayah. Let's look over another meaning of the same ayah. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Their example is like that of one who kindled a fire. اِسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. اِسْتَوْقَدَ over here gives a meaning of he asked for a fire to be lit. He asked someone else to light the fire. And if we take this meaning, then the word الَّذِي gives the sense of الَّذِينَ, those who. Okay? Remember that in the Arabic language, the words man, who. Okay, we did the word man earlier, which means who. Similarly, the word alladhi, who. They are used for singular, but they can also be used for plural. Okay, so when we read alladhi istawqada nara, it seems to be singular, isn't it so? But it actually is plural. Because if you continue to read the ayah, what happens? ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبُصِرُونَ. It turns into they. So this proves that الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا actually means those who asked for a fire to be lit. What does this show? That it is a group of them. It is a group of them. It is not just a person here or there. It is a group. And they ask someone to light the fire for them. And this fire is also why? So that they have protection, they have light, they can see. So in other words, they express their desire to learn. They express their desire to practice the deen, to know about the deen. But it is a group of the hypocrites. Because they are asking someone to light the fire. So الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. Then when the fire illuminated what was around, what happened? ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Allah took away their light. Then their light refers to the light that they kindled. The light that they lit. Okay? نُورِهِمْ. Their light refers to which light? The light that they kindled. The light that they lit. What was that light? What was that light? The desire to learn about the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And He left them in darknesses and they were unable to see. And as a result, they were صُمٌ, بُكْمٌ, عُمْيٌ, فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They are deaf, dumb and blind and they will not return. The next ayah is a bit long. Let's listen to the recitation of just these verses.
مثلهم كمثل الذي استوقد نارا فلما أضاءت ما حوله ذهب الله بنورهم وتركهم في ظلمات لا يبصرون صم بكم عمي فهم لا يرجعون.
Did you notice something? استوقد النار. He kindled a fire, or he requested that fire should be lit. Then Allah says, فلما أضاءت ما حوله ذهب الله بنورهم. Allah took away their light, not the fire. What does that show? That their ability was taken away. The light of Islam is still there. It's not that Islam was extinguished. It's their light which was taken away. Their ability which was taken away. And notice also, وَتَرَكَهُمْ. And He left them. What does that show? What does that show? Allah left them. Allah abandoned them. What does that show? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide them. What else does that show? تَرَكَهُمْ. He has abandoned them. Allah doesn't care for them. You leave something, you abandon it when you don't care for it. تَرَكَهُمْ. He left them. It also shows that the hypocrite does not have the help of Allah. He does not have the support of Allah. He is abandoned by Allah. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ. He leaves them in darknesses. Why is it darknesses and not just darkness? Why is it multiple darknesses? Why is it many darknesses? I'm asking, why isn't it just He left them in darkness? Why is it He left them in many darknesses? What do the many darknesses refer to? It shows the intensity of the darkness. You see, if you are in dark, eventually you get used to the dark, isn't it? And you can still see just a little bit. Isn't that so? But if the light is turned on and the light is turned off, what happens? Right after the light is turned off, you're unable to see. It's completely dark for you. So, تَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ. Why? They were in dark, then there was light, and then the light was taken away. As a result, they were in complete darkness. So, it shows the intensity of the darkness that they were in. Also, ظُلُمَات, darknesses, implies that they weren't just one thing that was wrong, but they're indulged in many wrong things thereafter. So تَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. They do not see at all. But remember, this example is of those hypocrites who in their hearts are not believers at all. They know that they're not believers. They're pretending to be believers only. People who outwardly display iman, but in their hearts they're not believers. The second example is of those people who are believers, but you know, they have hypocrisy in their ways, in their actions. The first thing is that we do not have the authority to say this person is a hypocrite, this person is this type of hypocrite, this person is this person. Okay? We do not have the authority to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the actual reality of people. We are only to deal with them outwardly. If a person, you tell them, they don't listen. You tell them again, they don't listen. You tell them again, they don't listen. Should you say, oh my God, they're just hypocrites, that's it, I'm not going to talk to them again? They're deaf, dumb, blind, la yubsirun, they're not listening, they're not comprehending. No, we're not going to do that. You see, the Prophet ﷺ, there were so many hypocrites that lived in Medina. Abdullah ibn Ubay. So many times, Umar radiallahu anhu asked, give me the permission to kill this person. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? No. Don't kill him. And the Prophet ﷺ and the other believers, they kept on advising him. His own son would advise him. So our job is to continue to remind, continue to advise. If we ever come across such characteristics in people, our job is to just continue to remind. Our job is not to judge. Okay? And our job is also to pray for them. And remember that whenever you're studying these verses, always think about yourself. Always think about yourself. These examples are given for us to analyze ourselves. Do I do anything like this? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, you know, when He shows me the light, when He shows me what right is, what wrong is, what is my behavior? What is my attitude? Do I close my eyes to it? Do I pretend as if it doesn't exist? If I do, that is something very dangerous. So from everything that you study in the Quran, take questions for yourselves. Analyze yourself. So to summarize the first example of the hypocrites that we studied, it is about the first group of hypocrites who are disbelievers in their heart, but they only show outward iman. And they are such hypocrites who are hypocrites in their aqidah, in their belief. So their example is like those who were in darkness, they were in unbelief, and then there was light. In other words, they showed their desire to learn the deen, to know about the deen. But soon after the light was taken away, the light was extinguished, and as a result, they went back into the state of darkness, they went back into the state of unbelief. So there was a darkness of shirk, there was light of Islam, things became clear, but soon after, they relapsed into their disbelief, but continued to show themselves as believers. Because if they wouldn't, if they don't, then what's going to happen? They're not going to benefit as the other Muslims benefit. The next ayahs, they talk about, or they give the example about the second group of hypocrites who sometimes know the truth and doubt it other times. It is about those people who are also hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ, or it is like a rainstorm. What is like a rainstorm? Their example. Because the previous ayah began with مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ. Their example is like that of one who. These ayahs begin with أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ, or it is like a rainstorm. So the word أَوْ, it means or. But it doesn't always convey the meaning of or. Sometimes it gives the meaning of and. It gives the meaning of and as well as. And other times it shows variety. It shows tanweer. So over here, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ, أَوْ has been understood as, and their example is such and such, or it has been understood as, or another example, or an example of another type of hypocrites is such and such. كَصَيِّبٍ, like a downpour. We have done the word ka earlier, it means like, just as, similar to. And the word صَيِّب is from the root letters صَاد وَاو بَ. It is from the root letters صَاد وَاو بَ. صَوْب literally is when something reaches or hits the target. When something reaches or hits the target. It reaches where it should reach. It hits where it should hit. Like for example, getting a dart in the bull's eye. Okay? What is it? صَوْب. To hit the target. To hit where one should hit. From the same root is the word musiba. Have you heard of the word musiba? What does that mean? A calamity, a problem, a disaster. Why? Why is it called musiba? Because it only hits you, or it only hits, or it only strikes where it should strike, where it was meant to strike. Okay? And the word sayyib, which you see over here, sayyib is used for heavy rain, a heavy downpour. What is it? Heavy rain or heavy downpour. But in particular, it is such heavy rain that is accompanied with a lot of thunder and lightning. It's downpour, rain, heavy rain that is accompanied with what? A lot of thunder and lightning. So just imagine a rainstorm, a storm. So, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ, like a downpour, like a heavy rain, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, from the sky. السَّمَاء is from the root letters سِين, ميم, واو. سِين, ميم, واو. سُمُو literally means height. And the word سَمَاء is used for sky. But remember that the Arabic word سَمَاء does not just refer to the blue sky that we see above us. Okay? سَمَاء is anything that is above you and it covers you. Anything that is above you and it also covers you. So the word sama is used for the sky. It is also used for clouds. And it is also used for a ceiling. Roof. Sama is used for anything that is above and anything that covers from above. So, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, or a heavy rain, a rainstorm from the sky. What does it mean by from the sky? Meaning heavy rain pouring down from the clouds that are up there in the sky. In this heavy rain, Allah says, فِيهِ, in it. Meaning in the downpour, in the heavy rain, there is what? There are ظُلُمَاتٌ. There are darknesses. We have done the word ظُلُمَات earlier, which is a plural of ظُلْمَة. And ظُلُمَات is plural, so it shows layers of darkness. And if you think of it, what is darkness? What is darkness? How would you explain darkness? Absence of light. When there is no light. So فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ, in the rainstorm, there are many darknesses. What are these darknesses referring to? These darknesses, just imagine a rainstorm. It is dark, right? So first of all, the darkness is because of the night. Secondly, the darkness is because of the clouds that cover up the sky. And thirdly, the darkness is also because of the heavy rain. Sometimes during daytime, if there is a storm, what happens? What happens? The visibility is not that great because of the heavy rain, because of the clouds. Now just imagine there is also night. It is also nighttime. So ظُلُمَات, darkness, layer upon layer, physically, literally, what is it? ظُلُمَات refers to the darkness of the night, the clouds, as well as the rainstorm. So there is ظُلُمَات. What else is there in the storm? Allah says وَرَعْدٌ, and thunder. رَعْد is from the root letters رَعْعِنْ دَال. And رَعْد is the sound of thunder. What is رَعْد? The sound of thunder. The sound of thunder that follows a flash of lightning. The sound of thunder that follows a flash of lightning. And the word رَعْد literally means movement. Literally, what does it mean? Movement. When you hear thunder, what happens? Your heart moves. Your heart shakes. It terrifies people. So there is ظُلُمَات, there is also thunder, and there is also, Allah says, وَبَرْقُ, and lightning. بَرْقُ is from the root letters بَرَقَاف. بَرَقَاف. And بَرْقُ is the flash of light. It is the lightning that is produced in a storm, and that is visible in the sky, in the clouds, up in the horizon. Okay? بَرْقُ is what? The flash of lightning, or the lightning that is in a storm and is visible where? Up in the sky, in the clouds. So can you picture this? Heavy rain, a storm, that is a heavy rain that is falling down from the sky. And with this heavy rain, with the storm, what else is there? Darkness, thunder, and lightning. Now what do these things refer to? What does the sayyib refer to? What does the sama' refer to? What does the ظُلُمَات refer to? What do the ra'd and barq refer to? Let's look at that. Sayyib is the heavy rain. And the heavy rain refers to, the indication is towards the revelation, the wahi that is being sent, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are being revealed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, brought the light, and soon after, what happened? The commands of Islam, the laws of Islam were revealed. It's a heavy rain, one after the other. In hadith, as well as many places in the Quran, revelation is explained as rain coming from the sky. Okay? Because just as rain brings benefit to us, it is a source of life for us. When rain comes, plants grow, there is water, we can eat, we can drink. If there is no rain, they will be drought. Right? Isn't that so? People's lives, they're dependent on rain. Similarly, spiritually, we rely on what? We rely on revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. If there was no revelation, we would be dead spiritually. We would be dead spiritually. So rain over here, sayyib refers to the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing, min as-sama, from the sky, fihi ghulumatun, in it are darknesses. What does it mean by in it are darknesses? This darkness, it refers to the mention of unbelief, the explanation of unbelief. What does the darkness refer to? The mention of unbelief, the explanation of unbelief. What is disbelief? What is disbelieving in Allah? How do we learn that? Where do we learn that from? From the revelation, from the Quran. You start reading the Quran, 5 verses down, what do you read? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. You learn about kufr. So فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ, meaning this revelation clarifies what disbelief is, what wrong is. وَرَعْدٌ, and thunder. What is the thunder referring to? The thunder refers to the threat of punishment. Because just as thunder strikes, thunder scares a person, similarly, the threat of punishment also scares people. So in it there is darkness, there is thunder, and there is also barq, there is also lightning. What does the lightning refer to? You see, even if there is a storm in the middle of the night, and if there is lightning, there is a flash of lightning, what happens? What happens? You can see. Even if it's for just a few seconds, for a few moments, the entire horizon, the earth around you, everything becomes clear, it becomes visible. So the barq, the lightning, it refers to the clear arguments, the clear evidences, the guidance, as it illuminates the earth, as it illuminates the surroundings. What happens then? يَجْعَلُونَ, they put. يَجْعَلُونَ is from جَعَلَ. جَعَلَ is literally to put something. It also means to make. Over here it means they put, they insert. Who does they refer to? They refers to those people who are in the storm. Whose example is being given? The hypocrites. So يَجْعَلُونَ, they, meaning the people who are in the storm, who are the hypocrites, what do? They put أَصَابِعَهُمْ, their fingers. Where do they put their fingers? فِي أَذَانِهِمْ, into their ears. The word أَصَابِع is the plural of إِصْبَع or أُصْبُور. There are many singular forms of the word asabir. So let's say if you open up a dictionary, you know, you're interested in finding out more about the words of the Quran, and if you find a different singular form of the word asabir, it doesn't mean that that is wrong and this is right, or what I'm telling you is wrong and that is right. There are 10 different singular forms of the word asabir. Okay? So asabir, it is the plural of the word isba or usbur, or there are many other pronunciations as well. And isba is finger. Alif, sad, ba, ayn. With a kasra under the alif. Isba. So what is it? Finger. So they put their fingers fi adhanihim. Adhan is the plural of the word udhun. And udhun is from the root letters. What do you think? Alif, dal, nun. Hamza, dal, nun. Right? And udhun is ear. So they put their fingers into their ears. Doesn't mean they put all their 10 fingers into their ears. What does it mean by that? They put their fingers. Why is the plural form used? Because they are يَجْعَلُونَ. It is they. It is a group of the hypocrites. All of them put their fingers in their ear. في أذانهم, in their ears. Why do they put their fingers in their ears? Why? Because they don't want to hear. What do they not want to hear? The? Tell me the exact word. What do they not want to hear? The thunder. What does the thunder refer to? What does the thunder refer to? Threat of punishment. Remember, it's not just punishment. What is it? Threat of punishment. So when they hear the threat of punishment, what do? They put their fingers into their ears. They put their fingers into their ears so that they do not listen to the revelation. So that they don't listen to the Quran. But tell me something. If you just put your fingers into your ears in a storm, is it going to save you from the rain? Instead of taking an umbrella, if you say, I'll just put my fingers in my ears, is it going to save you from the rain? No. Is it going to save you from lightning if, may Allah protect every one of us, if it was to strike a person? Putting the fingers in their ears, is it going to protect a person from lightning? No. They put their fingers in their ears. Why? Min as-sawa'iq, from the thunderbolts. Min. Min over here gives a sense of because of, against, to save themselves from the sawa'iq. Sawa'iq is the plural of the word sa'iqa. Sa'iqa. And sa'iqa is from the root letters sad, ayn, qaf. Sa'iqa literally means to faint. What does it mean? To faint, to become unconscious. Many times people become unconscious when they hear something that is very loud, like for example a blast or something like that. Right? So sa'iqa literally is to faint, to become unconscious. And the word sa'iqa is a thunderbolt. It refers to the thunderbolt that falls on the earth and causes destruction and death. What is a sa'iqa? Thunderbolt that strikes the earth, that falls upon the surface of the earth. And what does it do? It causes destruction, death, it burns. Okay? This is what a sa'iqa is. Which is why the word sa'iqa in the Quran is also used for punishment. Because if you think about it, the end is the same. What is the end? Destruction. Death. So min as-sawa'iq, from the sawa'iq. They do not want to listen to the ra', to the thunder, to the sawa'iq, to the revelation. So what do? They just put their fingers in their ears. Why? حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ, due to fear of death. The word حَذَرَ is from the root letters حَذَرَ. حَذَرَ. And حَذَرَ, حَذَر is used for fear. But what kind of fear is it? It is a fear in which a person is trying to save himself from something. It is a fear in which a person is taking precaution. He is very cautious. Okay? Wiqaya is to take a shield. Alright? In taqwa, wiqaya is to take a shield. And hadar is to fear and become cautious, to become careful, to beware, to avoid something. So hadara, due to fear of what? Of al-maut, of the death. So out of fear of death, what do? They just put their fingers in their ears. But is it going to save them from death? Putting the fingers in their ears, is it going to save them from death? No, it's not. Now the question is, what do the sawa'iq refer to? What do the thunderbolts refer to? It is said that the thunderbolts, in this example, it refers to the commands that may seem very difficult. That may seem very difficult. For example, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, participating in a battle, was that difficult? Of course it was. Considering that the Muslims were very few in number, they didn't have much armor, right? So, sawa'iq was difficult command. Similarly, giving zakat. Giving zakat. They felt as though it was a thunderbolt that was going to destroy them, that was going to kill them, that was going to finish them. They felt as though if they were to obey that particular command, that was it. Their life was going to be over. So يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرُ الْمَوْتِ, due to fear of death. And if you think about it, the hypocrites, they put the fingers in their ears at the sound of thunder. Right? What was thunder? The threat of punishment. Now why is it that they think that every threat of punishment is against them? Why do they think like that? Exactly. Because they know they're wrong. There is guilt in the heart. We learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. They think that every shout is against them. They think that every shout, every cry, every scream is against them. You see, a person who is guilty, a person who is doing something wrong, let's say they're alone, they're doing something wrong, and you just happen to go by them, all of a sudden what's going to happen? You weren't looking for them. You weren't going to catch them. What's going to happen? What is their reaction going to be? Immediately they're going to be terrified. They're going to become scared. Why? It's the guilt in the heart. It's the awareness in the heart that what I'm doing is wrong. So similarly, when they heard the threat of punishment, immediately what happened? They would become terrified. They would become scared. So, يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ. But Allah encompasses who? بِالْكَافِرِينَ, with the disbelievers. The word muhit is from the root letters ha, wal, ta. It is from the root letters ha, wal, ta. Halt. And halt is to encircle something. What does halt mean? To encircle something. And in particular, it is to encircle something from all sides. To enclose something, to encircle something from all sides. The word is also used for building a wall around something, a boundary wall around something. So Allah is muhit. Allah encompasses. He is one who encompasses, one who encircles the disbelievers. What does it mean by muhit over here? Muhit is understood in two ways. That first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses them, their state, in His knowledge. So what does it mean? That all of their actions, everything they do, everything they say, everything that they think about, it is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encircles all of it, all of their actions, with what? With His knowledge. He is aware. Secondly, it also means that He has encircled them completely. How? With His power, with His ability. So what does it mean by that? What does it mean by that? That Allah has encircled them with His power. They cannot escape His plan. They cannot escape His decision. They cannot escape Him. So how is this relevant in the context? Huh? They're trying to put their fingers in their ears. They're scared inside. They're trying to not follow the commands. So their fear, their precaution is not going to help them at all. Their fear, they're putting their fingers in their ears, is not going to help them at all. They are in His grasp and under His power. وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Now notice over here the word kafirin has been used. Who does it refer to? Who is being spoken of in the context? The hypocrites. Why are they called kafirin? Why are they called kafirin? Why are they called disbelievers? You see, kufr is of different types. There are several types of kufr. One is major kufr, and one is minor kufr. Major kufr is like, for example, one is that a person outwardly says he does not believe. Okay? Outwardly, a person says he does not believe. He disbelieves outright. So this is the kufr, this is the disbelief of denial, of rejection. Another type of kufr is that of arrogance. Okay? Another type of kufr is that of arrogance. What does it mean by that? That a person knows what the truth is, but he is too arrogant to submit to it. He is too arrogant to accept it. Can you think of an example? Iblis. Iblis. He was in the company of the angels. You know about the story, right? He was in the company of the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to prostrate to Adam. But what did he do? He refused, and Allah says, wastakbara, and he was arrogant. Wa kana min al-kafirin, and he was of those who disbelieve. How was he a disbeliever? Did he not accept the truth? He knew the truth. He just did not accept it. He did not submit to it. Another type of kufr is that of doubt and suspicion. Another type of kufr is that of doubt and suspicion, in which a person doubts the six articles of faith. This is all major. So the third is in which a person doubts or lacks conviction in the six articles of faith. And the person doesn't care to find out. A person doesn't care to find out. And another type of kufr is that of turning away. Turning away from the truth knowingly. Another type of kufr is that of hypocrisy, which is what is mentioned over here. Because a hypocrite as well, what is he doing? He says he believes, but he shows, he demonstrates kufr in his actions. Right? He demonstrates denial through his actions. So over here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them kafirin, what does it mean by kafirin over here? Yes, they were hypocrites, but they claim to believe. In their actions, there is denial. There is disbelief. So what does this show to us? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not look at what? He doesn't look at your appearance, your wealth, but rather what does He look at? The hearts, the actions. So they're called kafirin. Why? Because they did the actions of kufr. So Allahu muhitun bil kafirin, Allah is encompassing those who disbelieve. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ The lightning is near. The lightning almost. The word يَكَادُ is from the root letters كَافْ وَاوْ دَالْ. It is from the root letters كَافْ وَاوْ دَالْ. كَادَ is when something almost happens. When something almost happens. It is about to happen, but it doesn't actually happen. Okay? It is at the verge of happening, but it doesn't actually happen. So يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ The lightning is about to. It almost. It is at the verge of. It is at the verge of doing what? يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ That it snatches away their vision, their sights. The word يَخْطَفُ is from the root letters خَطَفَ It is from the root letters خَطَفَ خَطْف And خَطْف is to snatch something away quickly, swiftly. What does khatf mean? What does it mean? To snatch something away quickly, swiftly. So yakhtafu, it is about to snatch away, it is about to take away, it is about to seize away what absarahum their sights. Absar is a plural of basar. What does it mean by this? What does the lightning refer to? The lightning refers to the commands that are in the Quran, the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. So it is about to snatch away their sight. How? Why? You see, when there is a storm and there is lightning, what are you told? Stay inside or don't look at the lightning, right? Similarly, if the sun is very bright, should you look at it directly? No, you shouldn't. Why? Because it can affect your eyesight. It can affect your vision. Alright? And if a person already has weak vision, if his eyes are already weak, what's going to happen? They're going to become weaker. So يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارُهُمْ What it means is that the lightning is going to take away their vision. Why? Because their vision is already weak. And the light is extremely bright. The light of Islam is extremely bright. But their vision is weak. كُلَّمَا Every time Whenever, kullama gives a meaning of each and every single time, without exception, أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ It illuminated for them. What illuminated for them? We have done the word أَضَاءَ before. The lightning, okay, the barq, every time there is a flash of lightning and the surroundings are illuminated, what happens? مَشَوْ فِيهِ They walked in it. The word مَشَوْ is from the root letters ميم شين يَ And مَشِيَ is to walk. And it is used for normal walking, not too fast, not too slow, but just walking normally. So they walk in it. What does it mean by this? Every time that there is a command that is easy, that they agree with, they find that they don't really have to sacrifice anything, It's not that difficult. What do they do? They walk a little bit. They obey a little bit. They follow those commands a little bit. Every time there is light, every time there is ease, every time they find it easy, what do? They accept it, they do it. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ But when it became dark upon them, what does it mean by that? When there are commands that they find very difficult, when there are commands that they do not agree with, what do? قَامُوا They stood. The word قَامُوا is from the root letters, قَافْ وَاوْ مِين So what does it show? That the hypocrite only takes the deen when? Only follows the deen when? When it is easy and convenient. As soon as there is a little bit of difficulty even, what does he do? He stops. He leaves it. Why? Because he is not committed. The deen is not his priority. The deen is not his priority. Now over here, all of us have to check ourselves as well. Which commands do I follow? Which commands do I not follow? Is it only those that I find easy and simple? Convenient, so I do them? And if anything I find inconvenient, if I find it inconvenient to pray, I don't pray. If I'm too sleepy, it's very difficult to get up, I'll say, forget it, I won't pray. At least I'll pray Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. 4 out of 5, that's a good number. No. This is a sign of hypocrisy. This is hypocritical behavior. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا What does Allah say? وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ And if Allah willed, لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ Surely He would take away their hearing and their sights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away their hearing and their sights, but He hasn't. What does this show? That if a person continues to be in such a state where his vision is weak and you know, there is lightning and he's exposed to such things, what happens? Eventually, his sight, his vision is going to finish. It is going to go away. So if they continue to be the same in their faith, eventually they're going to lose their faith completely. So what does it show? That when a person is not fully committed to his deen, then he is vulnerable. He could lose his faith. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ He could take away their hearing and their sights. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, Allah is able over everything. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qadir, is from the root letters قَافْ دَالْ رَى From the word قُدْرَى. What does قُدْرَى mean? Do you know? قُدْرَى Ability, power. So He is Qadir, meaning He has the ability and He has the power over everything and anything that He wants to do. He is Qadir, He is powerful, He is able. Also from the same root, قَافْ دَالْ رَى, you get the meaning of قَدْر, which is to plan. What does it mean? To plan for something. So Qadir is one who plans. First of all, one who has power and ability. Secondly, one who plans. Over here, what's the relevant meaning? That he has the power and ability over everything. Meaning he can take away these abilities from them as well if he wants. If they don't, use them. Let's listen to the recitation.
أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير